That's the direct line of helping people in whatever field you're in. And in basketball, like, that's the number one thing. You want to help the team in general, yes, but by helping the players, you help the team.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Joe Meehan, a former Division I assistant coach and founder of Optima Vita Consulting, a new partner with Rising Coaches. Joe's basketball journey takes him from playing Division III to a career in Switzerland, while also holding various positions at his coaching stops at Randolph-Macon and Bucknell. Today, through Optima Vita Consulting, he works with coaches and professionals on building better habits and healthier lifestyles that support long-term performance. In this episode, we discuss what he focused on early in his career at Randolph-Macon to become valuable as an assistant to his head coach, how young coaches today can stand out in an ever-changing landscape, as well as the four pillars of Optima Vita Consulting, including exercise, stress, sleep, and nutrition. Please welcome to the podcast, Joe Meehan. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, joined today a former player over at Lebanon Valley College, assistant coach in the Division I world, as well as the founder of Optima Vita Consulting, Joe Meehan. Joe, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
No, we're excited. One, I know what, just to lightly tap on it, that we will get into some of the consulting, what you do, what that entails. I know there's some great things going on with you as well as Rising Coaches that we are going to be happy to talk about here shortly. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about, one, you having an interesting path from the Division III player going on playing professionally in Switzerland. I know that's a great opportunity. Not everybody gets to go play professionally. But then also, obviously, having a coaching background. So it's going to be beneficial for people to hear. First things first, getting into coaching, now working in the leadership consulting side of things. When you joined the staff at Randolph-Macon, what were some of the things as a young coach that you really tried to prioritize to, one, grow like your own reputation, but then just focusing on becoming a value to the head coach and the staff?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely along the lines of let's grind type of mentality, which I think starting out, that's what every college basketball coach thinks like. And so it started out with first conversations with Coach Davis where, hey, I'm from the Philly area. I can bring people from Philly, New Jersey down to Randolph-Macon, which looking back on it, it worked out. But driving up and down to New Jersey and Philly twice a week, getting home at 3 a.m. and doing that whole thing. Not great, especially with what we talk about later when we get into the health scene. But no, it was good. Like, you get into it and you don't really know what to expect. And honestly, I never thought I would be a college coach. I had other plans in the medical field, and then I just got into it. And you learn early on that relationship with the players is ultimately the most important thing, especially as an assistant coach, and then being able to recruit. I guess those two things you learn early on, those are the two things to help propel you.
Yeah, for sure. What, when you first got into it, was there something that you enjoyed the most? Obviously, we all have our niches in coaching. Some guys, they enjoy the court, but recruiting is their thing. Or they love the court and they'll recruit when they need to. Or what was the thing that you really enjoyed sinking your teeth into early on?
I think I spent a ton of time recruiting because I knew that was incredibly important. But I think what I liked the most was spending time on the court with the players one-on-one, working on certain things over an extended period of time, and then seeing them perform what they worked on in a game and being successful in that particular skill set that we worked on. And then like someone looking over at the bench. Yeah,
right.
That type
that's
of
right.
Stuff.
Yeah, no, that's the best. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It gives you chills down your spine, I swear, when somebody does something that you have worked on, you've implemented, you know, you've helped them with it, and they give you that look after they do it. It's just, I don't know. I feel like that's a hard thing to match sometimes.
Yeah, and that's what it's all. That's the direct line of helping people in whatever field you're in. And in basketball, like, that's the number one thing. You want to help the team in general, yes, but by helping the players, you help the team. And then to see them progress throughout the career and then go play professionally. Like, I'm not coaching anymore, but I've gone overseas just to visit people that I coached while at Bucknell. So like, those relationships are still there.
No, that's great. And then you just transitioned it perfectly too with Randolph Macon going to Bucknell being the next stop. Talk about from the Division III to the Division I. Now, obviously Randolph Macon is one of the top Division III programs. So it is a great program. Some great rich history there. But going from a Division III to a Division I program, was it a tough adjustment for you to make that change? How did that look?
Not necessarily in some ways. In other ways, it was a little different. Like, Coach Davis had already coached in the Patriot League for many years and as an assistant, and he ran the Randolph Macon program like a Division I program in that manner, from scouts to try to travel, but some budget limitations there. But yeah, as far as like the expectations and how the program is ran basketball wise, it was very similar. And then when you get to the next level, it's just, all right, the hotels are better, the food's a little better, and those type of things. You play in bigger arenas, you're on ESPN. It's just a little different in that manner.
Yeah.
Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. Bucknell University, one of the most beautiful, tiny little campus, but really beautiful there. I've been there before. What was, talk about that league a little bit, like, where you probably knew a little bit about it, but I think it's probably one of the best, like, undermentioned or maybe underappreciated leagues in the country in terms of the competitiveness. Mm-hmm. The Patriot League is really good. Did you, in your time there, get a sense of that?
Yeah. And I had always been familiar with the Patriot League, have had some connections growing up while I was younger that were coaches in the Patriot League or players in the Patriot League. So I've always had that connection to the Patriot League. And it is like a very special league. And I know things are changing quite a bit right now, but it reminded me a lot of my Division III experience, and that really there was some quite high academic student athletes coming in who were really focused on both things. They wanted to be professional basketball players, but they also cared about the education, and it just wasn't as glamorous as the high major. It just reminded me of a step up from Division III in that matter, but still like laser focused on two different things at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. That's the last,
well, whatever,
probably on the one of the last pure basketball feelings and that's left right now in terms of,
yeah,
you got pay for play and everything else going on, NIL, rev share, but that league still has a kind of a purity to it. That's pretty cool as well.
Yeah. And you look at this year, there's definitely some stuff going on in that league now with people leaving and whatnot. And who came in first? Navy, who had a bunch of seniors. It's been like ever since the COVID, when they had the fifth year, the older teams have been having the success in that league. And this year was really no different. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
No, and that's a great point too, is like the older teams, the people with the more experience. And I guess you can look at that from two ways. One, are you pulling in upperclassmen from the transfer portal? Would always help. But then again, now, please correct me if you think differently here, but you see all these like the top tier programs, the ones that have the most money, are the ones that are really, especially like in their conferences, really making that different. They're standing out a lot more because they have more money to be able to feed their guys, which then brings the best players in. And you're going to see a huge separation, I think. Don't get me wrong. Those programs that don't have the money, I think those are the ones that are really going to stand out, but in certain ways. But those ones that have a lot more money, they're really starting to make a little bit of a difference. You're seeing it, that they're really blowing teams out. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I guess first off, just like the high majors versus the high majors, you got to pay the right players. So that's an important part. But then the high majors versus the low majors, I think the gap is really starting to widen, because if you have really good freshman class come in the Patriot League all the time. By the time they're seniors, you could have a high major team. And I think we had that in 2018. We had 8 professional players on that team. Ridiculous. We had 3 of our seniors were all MVP of the league in some capacity. So it was an insane year in that realm. And so like that just doesn't really exist, because say if those 3 seniors, Stephen Brown, Nana Folland, Zach Thomas, were having those really good years, sophomore, junior year, they're going to get paid.
Oh, they'd be gone.
Plus somewhere else.
Yep, we'll see.
And can you blame them if it's that amount of money, especially pending family situation, stuff like that too? It's tough because you want to see like the purity of college basketball. But then on the other end, it's on individual cases, you can't blame people for going to get paid to play basketball. So it's tough.
Yeah, for sure.
Not at all. No, not at all.
Some schools, you have to have a peace of mind about it too. I was talking to an AD a couple of years ago, and I was interviewing for a job. It's called IU Indy now, but it used to be called IUPUI. And one of the conversations we had is that you have to be at peace with guys moving on. Like, you can't be offended if a guy comes and only stays 2 years and he averaged 16 as a sophomore and he ends up in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You have to be at peace with that. And you have to almost look at that as a feather in your own cap, that you're a launch pad in a sense for some places. Now, you don't like it when guys leave, but you can't have this be offended or the shock that why would they want to leave? This is such a great school. Yeah, 2 things can be true. It's a great school that you have, and then that's another opportunity that they have. There's certain places, if you approach it, you can actually make yourself a bit of a launch pad in a way from a developmental perspective, and it makes you probably a little bit more attractive.
Yeah, it's definitely tough on the coaches. I've talked to several coaches who are dealing with it, and we could talk about the stresses of the college coaching later and how to try to regulate that, which is a tough task. But this certainly adds to it. You get done the season, say my second year Bucknell, 2016-17, and you get done the season. Okay, we can take a deep breath. Nobody's transferring. We can start preparing for the live period. Not the case. You need to be ready to re-recruit your own players and hit the transfer portal and have official visits and all that right away. So there's really no time to take a deep breath. And that's when I left in July of 2022, I started to feel that. And now it's exacerbated for sure at this point.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the portal growing from once it officially started. I don't remember what year it was, but once it officially was a thing, it was like there was hundreds of kids in it. Then the next year it was like completely doubled. Then it tripled. Now it's just astronomical. It's huge. But that's a great segue, and we'll get into it here in a second. But all of those things being stressors, right? All of those things being things that really weigh people down. As before, what, 10, 15 years ago, Mage, you could speak on this way better. But being a head coach, being an assistant coach, you didn't have the transfer portal. You just had a couple guys who would transfer in, transfer out. But now you have the portal where it's like you have weeks to, if not months, especially for Division III, it's a whole, you have as much time as you want to be able to jump in and out. But it's like you have all that time and people still have to work at that portal. It's, oh, geez, it's stressful. But I do want to make sure to shed some light on one thing. You and your time as an assistant, as we mentioned, Randolph-Macon, Bucknell, you had some great honors. I know as one of the nation's top assistants, NABC Under Armour 30 Under 30 list. And that's something right there that says a lot about you, about your career, about your success as an assistant coach. But I guess just the one question before we dive into things is, if there was something that you could say, and I know it's a completely different landscape since you have been in it, but just some advice that maybe you have for coaches, young assistants, how can they really stand out as you have in the past?
Yeah, I think one of the toughest things to navigate is relationships and connections and having a genuine feeling to them, because especially the younger coaches, they're always trying to just make connections with the higher ups and write letters and this and that. But like, I don't think that lower level stuff necessarily ends up in a job promotion, or it's really like genuine relationships. And I say this and that, do a really good job for who you're working for. and trust that person has a connection, because it's the trust through another person more than like a really like a 2 out of 10 relationship between you and that next person. So I would say just be happy where you're at, do the best you can, and just hope that who you're working for has your back and can help you move forward.
Yeah, well said. You hit so many people come on the spot and they all say the same thing in their own great, and that just stands true with what a lot of our guests talk about is rise where you are first. If you want to rise, elevate the building that you're in. That's the essence of trying to be a rising coach, right? Are you leaving a place better than you found it? And then you kind of let that speak for itself over time. And like you said, that combined with the relationships, so it's a combination of the two, but, and also creating the right relationships for the right reasons. Like you always felt if someone wanted to connect with you just because of what it could do for them, as opposed to connecting with you just because.
I think that, we all that's got a big one texts, too. Coach. Yeah, the random texts and whatnot. Yeah, those come off as not as genuine, whereas like with Coach Davis, that was my thinking. And he helped me along, brought me to Bucknell, promoted me a couple times. And then I got out before I would have possibly gone anywhere else. But it's the same thing. You get moved up where you are, or you get moved up at another place based off of just doing a good job where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a crazy part of the world. And I think about it all the time is any job that I've ever had, and every job that I've ever received, whether it was a small job, something just like on the side or whatever, even a big job, it was from somebody I knew. Now, maybe I found it on the internet, but then I went to an interview and ended up knowing somebody that knew somebody like that. That's at least just my personal. Now, that's also, I'm talking corporate jobs. I'm talking like not even just athletics. Every job that I've ever received, I knew somebody who knew somebody, or some along the lines, there was some degrees of connection that helped out. So it truly is like, as soon as you burn a bridge, that's one thing that I am huge on, is never burn a bridge, because it can always, that's another route that you can't go. It can always backfire on you.
Yeah, like with Optima Vita, which we'll talk about shortly, like even with those connections, as far as my clients or corporate partnerships, it's all people that I've known. And a lot of them happen to be in the basketball world. So that it's a close-knit community. But even post-basketball, the connections I'm making and how I'm growing the business is through those relationships still.
Let's dive into that. So Optima Vita Consulting, I know that's something that you started getting out of the coaching profession. And you obviously knew about the coaching profession because you were in it. We were talking about some stressors, some different things that can maybe weigh on you over the years. But talk about Optima Vita. Really, first off, dive into one, what made you want to get started with this? And then what were some of the problems that you were looking to solve when you created this company?
Yeah, so like we touched on earlier, like I truly do helping people and seeing them progress in whatever area it may be, whether it's basketball or their health. And I was biology pre-med at Lebanon Valley College and then was going to go to medical school and ended up getting a contract to play overseas. So obviously didn't go to medical school that year. But yeah, I ended up getting hurt over there and then coming back coaching and liked it. And then 9 years later, I was still coaching. At this point, I've circled back because I've always still had a strong interest in the sciences. So I decided to jump back into this and upgraded my education from University of Florida School of Medicine in medical physiology and aging. So studying human physiology at the molecular level and how aging progresses, how to slow that down, basically. So with using that and my coaching and just my passion in that area, it all came together at the same time and was able to create this comprehensive wellness program where we're putting out programs of exercise, nutrition, stress management, and sleep, the four pillars of health there, and helping people from young, you know, high school coaches to NBA, G League, college, and outside of the coaching realm as well. But it's a mix, and people with health issues is type 2 diabetes, blood sugar, hypertension, this and that, or people, my educational focus right now is in longevity, the aging part of it. We even get people who are fairly healthy, but want to be 10 out of 10. And that's where the Optima Vita came from, the optimal health, optimal life. Yeah, I think it's really hard in this day and age to get to 10 out of 10 health or 9 out of 10 health. And especially if you're a coach, and particularly a college coach, there's a lot of obstacles. The problem being solved is being able to help people navigate that to the best of their ability to reach their particular 10 out of 10 that they can achieve in this moment.
Good stuff. When did your passion for that begin? Was that something in college while you were playing? Was it somebody in your family that was in the medical side that you looked up to? Like, when did that catch on for you in terms of something that you knew, even when the ball stops bouncing, I probably want to continue to pursue this?
Yeah, it's funny. I always was on the track of I'll go to medical school. That was in the back of my mind. My grandfather was a doctor. But yeah, college, I was biology pre-med, like I mentioned, was going to go to Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. Paid my deposit, lost $500 on that one, not getting that back anytime soon here, but we'll live. But yeah, and then it just lingered. And like the people who know me quite well know that I've been into this throughout even the whole coaching career. And yeah, they'd see me come down to team dinner on the road and not eat. I'm like, I brought my own food. It's up in the room, like doing stuff like that. So everybody knew I was quite into it and exercise and playing and practice. But then, once I left college coaching, I get some time to think, and the concept snowballed into a new business. Now it's taken off. We're helping a lot of people, so it's been fun.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
that's great.
The tough thing to turn away, and I really appreciate that because that's some strong morals there, but to turn away free food when it's given to you, free lunches, free dinners, that's a tough thing to do. You go down and you get this, especially at Bucknell, you probably had these wonderful, just like full layouts.
Yeah. Not every meal, but yeah, I was pretty strict towards the end of it. I'm not gonna lie, when I was ops at Bucknell, when I first got there, I was eating the meals.
Well, you were the one, you knew it was. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, definitely, it just kept growing. And by the end of it, like, that might have even been a tiny bit why I skipped out as well, just to find a little bit healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. No,
Go ahead, though.
I was just going to say those four things that you mentioned, and then we'll touch on them more, but those four things that you mentioned are great because those are things that even if you aren't coaching, you still have, as you said, sleep, stress, exercise, nutrition. Those are still things that people need to do on a day-to-day basis, regardless if they're in the profession or not. So those are great to cover. But yeah, go ahead, Mage.
Yeah. What are the coaches that you talk to now, of all the four of those things, is there one that stands out among the other four, or is it, it's a combination of all the four and it just affects each person differently, if that makes sense?
Yeah. It's certainly more towards the latter there, where if you are lacking in one of those areas, physiologically speaking, it's affecting all three other areas. So if you're bad in nutrition, it's going to affect your sleep and your stress levels. And if you're not moving or doing resistance training on a daily basis, you're going to have definitely stress issues, probably sleep issues. And so it's not, that's why we work on all four of those, because we really think that in order to reach a good health or an optimal health, you can't be lagging in one out of the four. You really need to try to optimize all four areas.
No, well said.
One of the things that I got, and this actually, the Oura rings, have you ever tried one of those? Or use one
got
or not?
Whoop on, yeah.
You got that? Yeah. I say, oh, I got into this.
Yeah.
I got into it, and it actually helps a ton being able to track all that stuff. And I tell you what, you really realize how bad your sleep can be some days. You're like, oh, crap, I've got to stop looking at those numbers.
Yeah, and the sleep is such a huge thing. And specifically in college basketball, it's very difficult when you're on the road recruiting. You have late night games, and it's after the game. How do I settle down? There's pizza in the locker room. All of these things are going to highly affect your sleep. But like the unfortunate thing is just even slight reduction in sleep over 1, 2, 3 a week leads to all of these negative physiological mechanisms that affect your stress levels, your neuroplasticity, which is your memory, your blood sugar levels, your ability to grow muscle, your ability to burn fat, and much more. And a lot of the research around sleep is newer and not as known. And I know definitely when I was coaching, it was like, I'll sleep 50 years from now, be good to go. But some of the coaches I work with now, I'm like, I would not watch the last half hour of film, and I would put your computer away and go to bed, because you will wake up and have stronger cognition the next day. And I don't think knowing that one more play is worth having a literally working at a decreased cognitive level for the entire game, because that's what it does. And it's, like I said, just a slight reduction, like just under 6 hours, results in all of these physiological negative mechanisms, like 51% higher cortisol levels to start the day by having 6 hours or less sleep. If you're already a college coach, you're pretty darn stressed out. So trying to get 7+ hours to help with that is pretty important. And I definitely think sleep, like, almost vilified in that line of work. And I think it should be the exact opposite, just because that's what I'm into now. And looking back on it, I wish I would have slept a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's,
yeah, go ahead, though.
I started learning about the circadian rhythm too. And that's something that I really didn't, I mean, I knew of, but I didn't really know too much about it. And then you start reading into that, and really, for people who maybe aren't familiar with it, all it is just like consistently falling asleep around the same time and waking up at the same time. Because everybody has that mental clock where you get to the point where if you wake up at 8 o'clock every single morning, you're not set. If you do that for a month and then you don't set an alarm after that, you're most likely going to be waking up at 8 o'clock every morning, as long as you're going to sleep at the same time and everything, you're doing everything consistently. But that's what the circadian is, just the rhythm of waking up and falling asleep around the same time. That's so instrumental. And it's actually something that's great to talk on. It's something I've been learning more.
Yeah, so that's a great point. And that's one of the foundations of what we do, like, right away, is set the circadian rhythm. Because the newest research now is showing that, yeah, the length of the sleep is certainly important, but even the bedtime and the wake time being consistent has a more causal effect as far as longevity is concerned. So, like, the first thing you would want to do is in the morning, go and get sunlight in your eyes. The sunlight comes in particles and waves, and in this case, it's the photons hitting your retina, and then it sends a signal to a part of your brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And then from there, your cell circadian rhythm, their biological clock, get regulated, and certain molecules are released at certain times during the day to help you fall asleep. Like, for example, in the morning, you actually want a big cortisol kick because it helps you wake, and then, but you want it to come back down. If you have chronic stress, it goes up and then stays up. And then at night, by setting that circadian rhythm in the morning, your melatonin will release at the particular time, usually when the sun goes down, to help increase sleep pressure. And then similarly with adenosine, but slightly later in the night peaking.
Yeah. No, that's so good, man.
Sorry
for
all the words, but basically, you wake up, see the sun, you'll fall asleep better, and then wake up the next morning feeling even better.
Well, see, my issue is I live in Pittsburgh, and I know you can't see it right now, but it's probably dark around me, and it's because it's cloudy and raining here every single morning, and that's how it's going to be. I don't think I'm going to be getting any sunlight in the morning.
So the sun comes through the clouds still.
Okay.
Way it still more counts than any other light that you could, like artificial light that you could use. So yes, it comes through slightly less, but still at a X amount higher than any other artificial light. So still go out and see it. It would just take slightly longer.
I learned that in Florida whenever I go on vacations. Yeah, and then you get sunburnt through the clouds and it's just doesn't work
exactly.
Well. Yeah.
What advice would you have for coaches? And I think we all are in the process of trying to study the best of the best and why are the best. And like, what are some things that you could hijack from the best? And I think one thing that the best coaches have in common, doesn't matter really what level, high school, division 3-1, NAIA, NBA, is they have a great routine. And even amongst the instability of a schedule, they still find a way to maintain a routine. And so talk about the importance of that, because the circadian rhythm is part of the sleep routine. But then talk about how having a routine in some of these other areas, because I think that helps set the tone for the rest of the day. And then if you have a routine and you can manage that routine, now that helps you manage the stress.
Yeah, that was a great point. So within our program, there's the plan, which I go through all these science-backed research to implement a unique plan for that particular client. And then there's the support and the coaching part. So you're implementing this plan with specific routines. Like get up in the morning, see the morning sun, and depending on your day, trying to work out at the same time every day. What's your eating window? Should you be eating right when you wake up? Should you not be eating 3 hours before bed? The answer to that is yes. And then the coaching support to make sure you're doing, it's the same thing in basketball. You want to be holding the clients accountable so that they can reach their full potential, because they're coming to you with issues or goals that they have. And that's one thing that we do. I don't like to track weight. I think it's a bad metric. What are you losing? Are you losing muscle, bone mass? So I like to track habits. And then there are options to go deeper into science and track blood tests and body fat and VO2 max and that type of stuff. Going back to the routine part, like tracking habits is really important to me. And we can do that and we can graph it with the applications that we use. So like how many days in a row have you gone without looking at your phone an hour before bed?
And I'd love to see the numbers.
Like how many days in a row have you not eaten 3 hours before bed? How many days in a row have you've gone out and seen some? Those are the things that we look at, because then from there, if you're not progressing as quickly as possible or as quickly as you would like to be, we can look, okay, you're not doing this at a high enough compliance. And typically it's not 70-30, it's not 80-20, 90-10. 90-10 and up is, you're not going to, especially if you're a college coach, you're not going to be 10 out of 10 on those every day. It's right. not possible. If you got to take a night flight from LA back to Philly, your circadian rhythm is going to be off that next day. But what's 10 out of 10 for you is the goal.
Now, I want to make sure to mention, as I didn't say it before, but obviously us talking on all of this, we are partners with Rising Coaches, Optima Vita Consulting. I know we were fortunate to be able to partner now. So there are some things that are going to be rolling out for members out there for the membership programs. There's all some great things and really looking forward. I was able, and I actually have it pulled up here, and we won't dive into it, but a lot of great things that we're looking forward to be able to be working with you guys. And one thing that you mentioned early, and I have to circle back on this because I find you said there's no secret, but there's the secret to slow down aging. That can make us both really famous right now. If you had a secret to aging to be able to share, I tell you what, this would blow up.
Yeah, I don't think I have the secret.
No.
There's some supplements, protocols, but like, yeah. Yeah, you can fly to Switzerland or Mexico and get some work done that you can't get done here. But yeah, there's some things in the works, but there's actually some incredible things that they're doing in some of these research labs now that a lot of it's not being done on humans, but on mice. And it's pretty incredible. So stay tuned for some crazy stuff coming up. But some of the company that we use to do blood tests actually measures your biological age based on the health of your organs and different biomarkers. And so you can tell, okay, my chronological age, my actual age is 70, but my biological age is 60. Meaning that your health of your organs and the processes that are occurring on a daily basis are working at that of someone who's 60. So it's just like there's several different ways to measure it, but I take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. No, I had to make sure to circle back on that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
No, but we're definitely very fortunate to be able to be partnering with you. I know, as I mentioned, there's going to be some things rolling out. So anybody who's out there, that's for a membership program. So anybody who are or is a member would be able to be benefiting from this and getting to work with Joe and Optima Vita. Other than that, if you're not, feel free. There's a lot of great things that, like I said, you'll be seeing more of about sleep, stress, nutrition, exercise, all of those. But yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, extremely excited about the partnership, and I think we'll be able to get good outreach here and help even more people. And the memberships have access to some live webinars, obviously on the health topics pertaining to college coaching, as well as some preferential one-on-one client services stuff. Yeah, really excited about that and looking forward to keeping it going here, moving forward.
Great stuff, man. Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate y'all for having me.
Of course. No, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. And then I don't know if anybody else has anything else other than that. We just want to not only thank you, but thank everybody out there as we always do, because we're fortunate. Me and Mage wouldn't have this platform to be able to sit here and talk in your ears if it wasn't for you guys. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. You coaches, keep working and keep rising. We'll talk to you all soon. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.